And we will take up item number 478, I believe.
You had a sign-up sheet for public testimony.
That was a mistake.
So you're just eliminating it?
That was a mistake. It's on the 20th.
A mistake?
Mm-hmm.
That was my office that set out that sign-up sheet. Sorry.
Okay. So let's move to 478.
Update City of Portland Fair Wage Policies to establish a minimum wage of $15 per hour for employees working under covered service contracts.
Good morning. Welcome to our team that are making some adjustments to this important council policy.
Great. Thank you. And good morning. Josh Alper, Mayor Hill's office. As you remember, about a month and a half ago, council approved a $15 minimum wage plan. At that time, we knew there were going to be some tweaks to make it more clear. And so Betsy Ames has taken the lead on doing that, working with community stakeholders. And so what you have before you are those tweaks. I'll turn it over to Betsy just to walk through what they are.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Betsy Ames. I'm with the Office of Management and Finance. As Josh mentioned earlier this year, Council passed a resolution, and that resolution directed OMF to amend the City of Portland's fair wage policy in City Code. It directed the Bureau of Human Resources to increase the pay of certain classified positions to at least $15 per hour, and it directed the Parks Commissioner to create a task force to assess appropriate compensation for seasonal, recreational, and apprenticeship work. I'm here today to present the amendments to Portland City Code Chapter 3.99 to implement the first of those directives. Anna Canwit, the city's HR director, has initiated the process for the second directive regarding city employees and budgeted positions within the classified service. And Commissioner Fritz is in the process of establishing the committee structure to implement the third directive. The ordinance before you today updates city code to implement council's direction to increase the minimum wage rate to $15 per hour for janitorial services, security services, and parking garage attendance services under contracts covered by that chapter. The updates to the code language reflect the direction provided by Council earlier this year, with further clarifications to be more precise about the timing of the annual cost of living increase and how that increase is determined. The ordinance acknowledges changes to the benefits environment, including requirements under the Affordable Care Act and the city sick time requirements, and updates the code provisions to focus on the minimum wage rate of $15. The ordinance directs bureaus to amend or renew contracts as needed to be implemented with an effective date of July 1st of this year for all covered contracts and employees. The city has approximately 20 contracts for these services that will need to be amended in the next month and a half. The ordinance also clarifies that certain agreements are not covered by Chapter 3.99 to remove any ambiguities. As noted in the impact statement, bureaus need to have final code language in order to amend their contracts and determine the financial impacts of these changes. We believe the $900,000 included in the mayor's proposed budget is a good estimate of the total increase in costs. We will be able to determine the final costs once the amended contracts are finalized. Lastly, we have included an emergency clause in the ordinance in order to ensure that bureaus can amend the contracts to meet that July 1 implementation date and to provide bureaus time to work with the City Budget Office as soon as possible to finalize the costs so that they can be included in the adopted budget you'll be voting on later this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
A clarifying question. Mm-hmm. Under the directs numbers, Part C, Council confirms that the stadium operating agreement, the intergovernment agreement with TriMet and the City of Portland for enhanced transit mall upkeep, and the agreement with Downtown Clean and Safe are not covered by 399, which I agree with. What does it mean, and directs bureaus to review and amend those agreements if necessary?
I can speak to the stadium operating agreement. There's a reference to Chapter 3.99 in there, so we would need to amend that reference, and we've already initiated conversations with Peregrine about keeping the wages that they have been paying for their seasonal part-time employees there at an even level, and working on negotiating that before the start of the next calendar year.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments from the council? We may have more at the end of the hearing, but thank you both, and we'll see who signed up to speak on this item.
Looks like we have six people signed up, and the first three are Linda Spooner, Felicia Higgins, and Ben, is that Ben Pickering?
Come on up. Good morning.
He may have left. Let's go with Hiram Asmuth.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Linda Spohr, and I have been a security officer in the Portland building for 5 years. I am also a proud member of SEIU Local 49. I am literally here today because of you and my union, SEIU Local 49. I'm currently undergoing chemotherapy. And before security officers organized the SEIU Local 49 2 years ago, all my wages would go to cover the medical expenses. As a minimum wage worker, security officers are accustomed to not expect any wage increases, let alone dream of affordable health care coverage. Without the city's commitment to using a union contractor, without you, the mayor, and commissioners supporting security officers during our first union contract bargaining, and without my union, I would not be able to afford the cost of my health care, and I would not be alive today. As a union security officer, after taxes, I currently take home $1,560 a month. My utilities, including gas, water, electricity, cable, phone, and garbage service, cost me $570 a month. Each month, I pay $109 for car insurance, $150 for my medicine, and we pay $1,100 for rent. And I want to point out that my husband and I only pay the $1,100 for rent because my daughter is our landlord. Market value rent for my home could easily be upwards to $1,700 a month. After paying for all my bills, I have a mere $439 left for food and other activities. If I was renting a house in Portland's expensive rental prices, I would not have anything to eat. So as you can see, I am very excited that the mayor and commissioners are taking this important step to raise the wages under the fair wage policy. The extra income would mean I would be able to afford a Christmas gift for my grandchild. I might even be able to afford to pay my daughter the full rental price. The city has proven that time and time again that they will step up for the working class in our community, from passing mandatory sick days to standing with security officers as we organize our union to improve standards. I would like to thank the mayor for leading on this issue, the commissioners for supporting the raise, and everyone else who has worked on this initiative. I appreciate you having me here and letting me share my stories. This raise is going to make an immediate, real, and meaningful impact on my family, my coworkers, and myself.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mayor House, members of the Commission, for the record, my name is Felisa Higgins. I'm the political director of SEIU Local 49, and I'm the registered lobbyist at the City of Portland. Our mission at SEIU Local 49 is to improve the lives of working families, and we firmly believe that this initiative and this council has gone farther than many councils in the past to do exactly that. We applaud the city's work on their commitment to the $15 an hour and continuing to move forward in the piece-by-piece way that the city actually can do. And today, we had members here, as you saw, and we have about 200 members down in Salem trying to fight for this exact issues, along with affordable sick days and fair wage policies and other really important things for working families. You'll notice in the update to the fair wage policy that there's the provision that's been removed around health care costs. I'd like to address this directly with the council. It's incredibly important for our workers. Our expectation isn't that the city's going to move backwards in expecting contractors to provide affordable health care for their employees. We know that employer-based health care continues to be part of our health care system, even as we transition to the Affordable Care Act. However, when fair wage policies were designed and implemented throughout the metro region and other areas of the state, the cost of health care inflation was increasing roughly close to the pace of inflation. Then decades happen, things change, and medical inflation greatly outpaced the cost of inflation and was actually eating up large portions of the fair wage policy. And under the current fair wage policy, most of the health care that you could offer to a worker at that cost, the worker would not be able to uptake. So before the security guard officers were organized, the security company you had was actually meeting the fair wage policy standards. However, as Linda just spoke to, their health care was still incredibly unaffordable for the individual worker. We believe by removing this provision of the fair wage policy and moving to contracting standards under your sustainability policy to be more thoughtful about how you're contracting with employers who provide health care and a secure retirement is the wave of the future. And best value contracting is the way that the city should move forward on that issue. So we're in complete and firm support of the fair wage policy, and we look forward to all of the other updates that are coming. We know that this is the first step, and that the next steps are going to be to look at the things that were left out of this policy, as well as the other workers the city has. Thank you very much for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
You're happy with the health care provision? You're okay with it?
Commissioner Fritz, yes. It was actually our suggestion, because it was just eating up so much of the wage that a lot of workers weren't making enough to take up both.
Good point. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. I'm Hiram Asmuth. I'm a volunteer with 15 now. I really think that the recent PDC budget proposal kind of brings to light a major factor as to why you need to raise to 15 at a bare minimum. We're talking about, Amanda asked the gentleman here, so why is a housing not included for healthy, complete neighborhoods? It's just my opinion as a Portlander that's kind of a big deal with healthy, complete neighborhoods is affordable housing. When the rent going up, skyrocketing left and right, with people like Eric Kress developing Division and other places all around Portland with these high-rises and condos and whatnot, rent's going to go up significantly over here in the next few years. There's only so much you can do to stop that. There are certain irresponsible developments that you can shut down, and there's others that will be within city codes that will occur, and it's inevitable. You know, people are selling, people are moving in. The people moving in are not the native Portlanders. These are the people that we are here to request. The people who are currently employed by your, by the city, that you honor and respect their needs and their wishes, just like you respect people like Eric Kress. I'm quite frankly very distraught over what I heard about the budget committee. I mean, to think of housing as an afterthought when that should be, if not the main thought, one of the main thoughts of the Development Commission, it seems like, we're not being represented by the right people. It seems like you're appointing people to these commissions that are going to price us out of Portland, and that's
sir,
just my opinion.
Sir, just, I appreciate your opinion, but as the person who has consistently fought for the 30% set-aside, can just correct one maybe misimpression.
Sure.
That the PDC does not provide the housing services. It's a pass-through. So the dollars go to the Portland Housing Bureau, and they show up on their budget, and that's where they're spent. So I just want to be clear. We took housing out of PDC's plan and liberated it to do jobs and other things. So we can argue about where it shows up on a spreadsheet, but just to be clear, we have made a conscious decision that the Portland Housing Bureau directs those dollars, not PDC. So I don't want form over substance.
Okay, I got you. So, okay.
They are actually not the Housing Bureau.
Okay, sort of the presentation sort of gave a false impression that they didn't care about housing, but actually they have been told by the previous city council, you don't do that. The Housing Bureau does that. So the money passes.
Okay, so there's specific. Okay, so I did misunderstand that, but it's still not debatable that we are facing increasing skyrocketing rent, and that's going to happen no matter what. So you need to basically give your own employees a right way to stay in the city, which is being able to afford where they live, not to mention the cost of health care that these lovely ladies are fighting for as well. I mean, there are so many components to 15 an hour now. This is kind of, in my personal opinion, a no-brainer, and it would behoove all five of you to vote unanimously.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Thanks, Linda.
The last two who signed up are Charles Johnson and Joe Walsh.
Come on up.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Congratulations. $15 an hour is a concession level number. It's not a great number. It's $30,000 a year if you figure it out. I get more than that in my retirement. Think about that. I see your people working in this building, whether it be security or janitorial services. They are professional, even though the security and I disagree sometimes, but they are professional. I like them. The janitorial service is outstanding. But as you pat yourself on the back, I want you to think about what my shirt says. My shirt says $15 an hour for everyone. And that includes all the people that work for the parks. I know that's a huge problem for you, Amanda. However, it should be the goal of this city to make sure that anybody that's associated with the city, worked for this city, or is represented by the unions in the city, makes a minimum of $15 an hour. That should be the goal. And it's, I get really angry when I hear people say, well, we don't have enough money, you know, we got all these temporary people and casual people, and what do we do with them, and how do we pay them $15 an hour? The goal should be to pay them $15 an hour, and then we figure it out. And I am really encouraged by you, Mayor, because it seems to me that every time you go down into the basement, you find a jar with more money. You found $12 million first, and then you went down to the basement, and you found $50 million. Please go down again and take care of the parks people, the casual people, and we can all be proud of that. And we should be proud of that. And what you're doing is a good thing. Let me end with that as a positive. But it's a first step, small step. You know, so pat yourself on the back gently and work to get the other people. If we pay people less than $15 an hour, I don't care what you call them, it's a shame. A shame. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I want to apologize for not being fully prepared. Next time I come up to talk to you about wages, I will have done a breakdown to talk about the presumption that with the large vacations that you can take over the course of a year, you maybe do only average about 40, 45 hours per week of work. And we're going to talk about your hourly wage and the level of benefits you get, and why you can't find the money to pay the hardworking people who save the lives of the homeless the police push around, $15 an hour at TPI, $15 an hour Central City Concern. You, with your poor policies, make it very difficult for the Portland Mall people to pick up trash because, in the city's brilliance, you can walk from here to Market Street in front of the extremely expensive, high property tax valued Wells Fargo building, and there's no freaking public trash cans for five blocks. So, pay more people $15 an hour to do it, not just these workers who have explained to you why it's fair and just for them to get 15, but all personnel working on at primarily city-funded contracts, and work towards a policy where even city contractors, businesses that have living wage policies, businesses that have no employees needing public assistance and food stamps, get contracting preference for the city. It's as usually gets mentioned here, even though we've been trained to think of, oh, 15 is exorbitant, any economist worth anything can tell you that businesses seeking low wages have distorted the minimum wage since the 70s. If minimum wage had kept pace with cost of living and productivity, minimum wage should really be around $20. So when we have this budget surplus and you do not adequately channel it to get everybody up to $15 an hour, you should feel a little uncomfortable walking in this building, because the people you work with that are making less than 15 would be morally justified to spit in your faces, because that's what you're doing to them when you do not pay them $15 an hour. Find a way. I am a little bit disappointed, Mayor, that when you went down and found the $50 million jar in the basement, you didn't do a better job of allocating more of it to bringing the lowest paid city workers up to living wage. But I know that you're going to do, as Mr. Wall suggested, and find some more money in the basement jars or wherever it is, and get these valuable, hardworking human beings up to a decent wage and set the trend so that people are paid enough that they can afford to live out in Rosewood or somewhere. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. Further council discussion? And let's take a roll call vote on the ordinance, please.
Fish.
Mayor Hales and Commissioner Salzman, thank you for bringing this matter forward. Betsy Ames and Josh Alpert, thank you for doing the staff work and bringing us the tweaks. I want to especially thank the rank and file folks of 15 Now and the rank and file members of SEIU who have been advocating and lobbying extensively on this issue. And we've heard from many of you, and you've made a compelling argument. And as we heard today, this is just a first step. And it's a down payment on a larger agenda, but it's something that we can do and do right away. And I'm pleased that the council is taking this action. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the mayor for his leadership in delivering on what he announced at his State of the City speech. And for Betsy Ames, Josh Alpert, Matt Grum of my office for working with Felisa Higgins and others of SEIU 49 and the $15 Now Coalition to make this moment finally here. And I agree that, you know, $15 seems like a lot to a lot of people, but as we saw in our State of the Housing report that was presented 2 weeks ago, a $30,000 annual income will entitle you to rent exactly nothing in terms of a two-bedroom apartment in the city limits of Portland. So we still have a long ways to go to boost people's income levels. This is a start. It's a good start, and it's money in people's pockets for our security, janitorial and parking attendants, and the few city employees that we're not making $15 an hour full time. So it's a good step in the right direction, and I think, as my colleague just said, I regard it as a down payment. Aye.
Novick.
I simply echo what my colleagues have said. Congratulations to Commissioner Saltzman and the mayor and the members of 15 Now and Felisa, Josh, Betsy. And again, as everybody has said, this is just a down payment. Aye.
Fritz.
I'm very glad to hear my colleagues talking in terms of this being a down payment. There aren't any more buckets of money in the basement, as far as I know. I think we've looked fairly thoroughly at this point. And so I'm going to be looking at my bureau's budget requests in light of this ordinance and revising some of my requests to council, because it's not equitable that we pay part-time workers who are contracted workers much more than we pay our part-time workers in parks. We have workers in parks who make minimum wage. We have people doing the same work as others, making $11 an hour, and it's not okay. So I think we do have a big challenge ahead of us, and I think we need to start making that down payment for our parks workers in this current budget. And I appreciate the mayor's commitment to partner with me on that. I thank you also, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on this, Felisa Hagen, and the community partners, joined by Mark, our wonderful janitor, custodian here in City Hall, and thank you so much for all of the work that you do. Very happy to be able to provide this benefit to our contracted workers, and I'm hopeful that we can at least make a start with our parks workers this budget. Thanks to Betsy, too. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you all, and I'm really proud to be a member of this council, not just because I think we reflect the progressive values that are here in this room on this subject, and not just because we have great staff members like Josh and Betsy and Matt who not only do this work but are passionate about it, and we appreciate that about them, but because in a larger sense, I think this shows our understanding as a city that we're not passive passengers on a national ship that maybe is going somewhere we don't want to go. I've quoted over and over again from this appalling story in the New York Times last Sunday, in which the statistic was pointed out that the bonus pool on Wall Street, just the bonus pool, just for people that work in financial services on one street in one city in this country, is twice the annual income of all the full-time workers in the United States working at minimum wage. That's appalling. And it also makes you feel sort of hopeless, like, that's so bad, what hope do we have here? Well, I think Portland proves over and over again on lots of subjects, whether it's the environment or thinking about workers or thinking about affordable housing, that we don't want to be a passive passenger on a trip we don't want to be on. We are going to chart our own course and say, no, we're going to actually try to do with our own tools what we can to craft a different kind of economy here. And this is a piece of that. And I think we've got a real record as a city that this is a part of, showing that we can do that. And we have to start with what we can do this month, next year, and keep doing the work together. But I'm very proud of our direction and our commitment, again, to not wait for even a progressive state government, much less a paralyzed federal government, to take the leadership on these things. We get to lead on these issues, and this is a great example of us as a community doing that. And I'm very proud to vote aye. Thank you all. Okay. Thank you. So we're going to take testimony on some items in which we're not going